You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Nate Pass.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's Hump Day, episode 226 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Tonight's episode's brought to you by Bet Online. Again, just like every other night, because it's the best sporting bet. It's the best sporting website you can bet on ever. Every line you can ever think of, every casino game, online casino game you can dream up. And on top of all that, they're going to give you 50% of your money deposited back to play with. So you're going to give them $100. They're going to give you 50 back to play with for free. So there's really no reason not to join. College football kicking into high gear. Yes. NFL got a week in the books. NFL. Hit you some parlays, hit your teasers, hit your round robins, get it going. Let's make some money this season, and let's have some fun. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. It's Kyle and Ben tonight. Ben,
yo,
you look tired. What's going on? You gotta have some. We need some energy.
And I decided to. My daughter has gotten into this whole working out thing. She's 14. I don't know if she's trying to impress some dude or what. She said, "Dad, you need to work out with me tonight." She wanted to walk the neighborhood, so that's what we did. We decided to walk. There's one thing that you don't want to do, and that is work out with a 14-year-old that doesn't seem to get tired.
Ben,
like,
Ben, there's no easier way to ease into working out than walking.
Like, I know. I'm not real sure which way I would have gone. You know, maybe I started with like just a couple of jumping jacks or something. Maybe that was what it was.
What are we doing?
Yeah, like you got to crawl before you walk, Kyle. I mean, that's the way it works.
We walked so far. She without did. Stopping.
I will say, in my defense, she did have this routine, this regimen. So we'd walk, we'd do sprints, and then we'd like jog. Go. And then so it was like an intermittent thing.
You do like handstand walking too? Is that what
No, I didn't do all that. But I will say this. She like, we got, I thought we were done. Like, I'm sweating, I'm like breathing heavy. And she's like, I said, okay. I said, you about ready to go in? I said, I got to take the trash out. I got a pod with Kyle a little bit later. And she tells me, she goes, no, we got to go back to the end of the street, like to the stop sign and back.
Bump
I'm telling
that.
You, man, I had to catch a second gear. You know what I mean?
That's great. Well, you know who's been catching a lot of gears over this past weekend? That's Sergio. Okay, mm-hmm. And I think honestly he might deserve quite a bit of it. So we talked to he played in the LIV Tour event this weekend. He shot a smooth 76, I think, round one, and he withdrew almost immediately, caught a plane, and he was at College Game Day in Texas on Saturday, which is not something it seems like you could do on the spur of a moment. Seems somewhat planned, and he's catching a lot of heat. He's catching a lot of heat because, you know, he took a spot from somebody in that turn. I'm sorry, I said LIV event. He played in the BMW
DP World Tour event,
DP BMW PGA World Universe Championship or whatever they call it at JG Wentworth's course in England.
877652 now. Whatever.
Yeah, exact cash now. So normally if we go with the whole they took a spot from somebody, I want to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to punch Sergio in the face for this. Am I wrong? Am I overreacting?
I think that people are overreacting a little bit.
Okay.
I will say, because I sent Kyle a text and I said he's still a dick, but I do have a little bit of a, I don't really have an argument for him withdrawing. Like, he withdrew because he shot a 76. Let's just be honest. I mean, he saw other scores of other guys, and then when they announced they were taking the day off the next day, he probably was like, out of the heck with this. I'm not doing this. As far as them saying he left and went to College Game Day and he was at Texas, that does not need to be part of the argument. And the reason being, I say this, he and his wife live in Texas. She is a Texas grad.
That's true. All true.
She comes from money, oil money in Texas, and they are alums of the University
true.
Of Texas. So I'm pretty sure that they probably, those field passes were not because of Sergio. They were because of her, not because of him. So I think that she, which by the way, talk about post-baby body, goodness gracious alive. What a smoke. She had a little crop top on.
Congrats, Sergio.
Good
congrats
you,
on
bud.
The sex. Jeez.
Yeah, congrats on the sex, Sergio. That a boy.
Yeah. No, but here's my question. All right, I got two questions. Number one, How was the cut done? Do we know how the cut was done? I have no idea.
I don't.
Was it done after two rounds? Was it done after one round? Like, would he? Is there a chance he could have?
Would he have made the cut? Yeah.
Is there a chance? Could he have made the cut?
I didn't look at the cut line until Saturday night, so I don't know when it didn't like have a time by it of when they actually cut him. So I'm not real sure.
I'm sure they had to play two rounds. Like, surely they had to play. There had to be two rounds.
Yeah, because I was trying to see what LIV guys did not make the cut, as opposed to what PGA guys that may have been talking trash also may not have made the cut. So I was going to do like a comparison, so I looked at it Saturday night, but it didn't have like the line didn't say what time it was done.
Okay, so the cut looks like the cut was definitely after two rounds. Cut was definitely after two rounds because it said the cut was. Was minus two. No, I guess it could have been after the first. What was the par? It was par what? 72? Par 71? Par 7? What was it? I wonder.
Par 73, remember? Because they got three par fives on the back.
Yeah.
Only
okay.
Par 73 course they got.
The cut was two under. Or was the cut three under? No, the cut was three under. So he would have had to have shot. The cut was three under. Sorry.
He'd had to shoot six under to make the cut.
The line was four under. So if you were under four under, he would have had to shoot. It would have had to been like an eight shot swing. So more than likely, he was not going to make the cut. But with the optics of everything, I know, I get it. It went into Saturday, maybe. But see, to me, it kind of feels like he knew he wasn't going to make the cut, and this was the plan all along, was for him to go to College Game Day. Do you feel that way? I mean, do you kind of feel that way?
I don't think that was a plan all along. I think when he shot 76 and then they canceled the because
he didn't want to play that second round on Saturday for the cut. Like, he didn't, that's what he didn't want to do.
Right. And I think he just thought he wasn't going to make the cut. And his wife was like, well, you can just come on home. And not to mention, let's just call it what it is. Sergio's not happy with the DP World Tour anyway.
Yeah.
So this could have been his way of giving him the middle finger and being like, you know what, the hell with you guys. I don't have to, because that's what gets me is they're like, well, now you have to provide an adequate reason for skipping the cut. Okay, you think he didn't have a private doctor who's going to say he's got leg issues or something?
I don't know. Ben, here's my – I don't mind. I know these guys have been shit on. I know that they've been put in precarious situations. They were given some promises that probably are not going to happen now, and they kind of feel like the world's against them. I still don't think that gives you a right to just say, hey, let's just go shove it. You know, let's just go. And to me, this seems sort of premeditated.
Oh, I want to be perfectly clear. He made the wrong decision.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
He made the wrong decision. I just, if there's any sort of defense out there, there's some extenuating circumstances where everybody just, they made it sound like if game day would have been anywhere else, that was what he was going to do. And that's just not true.
That is a great point. He lives there. His wife's from there. They're alumni. They're sponsors. Whatever. They give a ton of money.
Yeah.
So there is something to that. That wouldn't happen if game day was at like Ohio State or Gainesville. Like, it probably doesn't happen. But it was his hometown. I don't know. It's a bad look. I think it's a bad look. And for a guy that has become a pro at more than golf, he's become a pro at bad looks. So.
He has. I mean, this is not, and that's another thing.
You think
thing.
The LIV guys are like, why did you do that?
Oh, I guarantee you some of them are. I guarantee you some of them are like, look, bro, we are trying to get into good graces, and then you go and you do this. Like, what is
the shitty, bro?
Like, you should have, now you've put a target on, we already had a target on our back. You just made it bigger.
Yeah.
And not to mention with Sergio, this is not the first time, you know, he had the bunker issues, bunker gate, whatever it was a couple of years ago, where he was tearing up the bunker and making an ass of himself. And then he did the thing when he was playing in America, and he said, I can't wait to be off this tour. And he said that where hot mics caught him. And it's like, man, you have got to, like, you got to have some sort of professionalism. You're turning into a grumpy old man. And he's, I think he's a year younger than me or 2 years younger than me. And he's turned into like a 70-year-old man that's decided he's just going to give the middle finger to anybody he wants to.
Exactly. And not a good look.
He hasn't earned that right. Is he a Ryder Cup legend? Yes, he is. But it's just because of how many he's played on, not necessarily his record behind it. I'd probably put Ian Poulter up there as being more legendary than he is on the Ryder Cup.
Mm. All-time point leader. It's a good hot talk, hot take.
And no, so, I again, not a good look, but if game day, and like, who's to say that after that he still does, if game day is not there and all the pictures aren't taken, who's to say that after he shoots a 76 and they cancel Friday's round because of the Queen's death, which him being from Spain probably didn't care whatsoever about any of that.
Right.
That he probably was like, oh, the heck with it. My wife has said, you know, come back and let's go to the game. Like, they go to Texas games all the time. He's hanging out with Matthew McConaughey. Like I wasn't shocked that he was there, but I think people made it. As you just said, that if that's at the Ohio State game this weekend, game day is, he probably never is even shown in pictures.
He may still withdraw, but he's not going to get. Yeah. Right. Bad look. I still think it's a bad look. Let me tell you what's not a bad look. Literally everything from Swannies.co. I'm on pins and needles. Check out. They make tea, like awesome teas, cool slogans, a lot of tiger themed slogans. I think you'll really like it. They got this cool one. I saw Blaine wearing it the other night. It's like a black tee with an orange and with black stripes on it. Goat, you know, for the goat, but it's got tiger stripes on it. It's sick. They got tons of stuff. We got a subscription box coming. We're going to do an unboxing. We can't wait to get that. Use coupon code DadBodGolfPod-25. Take 25% off literally every order that you get from now until eternity. Those guys are awesome. Hook them up. Love them. Swannies.co. It's where fashion starts. Yes. Ben, I wanted to go over something with you really quick. I listened to Davis Love talk on the Subpar podcast, and a little bit of context. This was they recorded this before the latest live event that was pretty electric with DJ making the eagle and whatnot. But there's one thing in particular that I wanted to give you a take on and get your opinion on it. So one of the things that he said is that it's the main reason why the Live Tour and the PGA Tour cannot coexist together is because of overlapping events. And then when they go and sell sponsorships. So one thing he made really is actually a really good idea, is really good point, is like the way the PGA Tour makes money is not so much off tickets and stuff like that. They go and sell whole tournaments to sponsors. Mm-hmm. So sponsors pay tons of money to have their name on a tournament that they expect players. They're like, hey, we got 200 guys. Any of these 200 could possibly come to this tournament. Would you want to be our title sponsor? Mm-hmm. When you remove 48 from those, it makes that a much tougher sale. So they can't overlap because that makes it cheapens the product. It makes it impossible for us to sell, blah, 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 blah. And that's the reason it can't do it. Well, there's two problems with this. There's tons of overlapping events that they navigate through. Okay. All of the WGC events, which are still semi-related to the PGA Tour, they overlap actual PGA Tour events that they go out and they sell sponsorships for. So that may hurt their revenue there. But you know, that's not a great comparison, but you got Scottish Open, you got several other different DP mm-hmm. World Tour. There's five or six flagship events. They all have to overlap something. You know, they're not on all off weeks. So there's that. And then this is the kicker. I don't think it's just because of the money. I don't think it's just because of money, because if that was the case, the DP World Tour would have no issue saying, okay, here's the deal. Assign a dollar value amount to each player. And for everyone that misses those events, we will pay the difference. So let's say you get $100, let's say you get $10 million from Wells Fargo to be the sponsorship of the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow. Okay. $10 million. Okay. And 10 of the guys that normally would commit to playing this are not going to play in it. So you lose 10 guys. They assign value of those guys are worth $500,000 a piece. So $5 million. The Live Tour would write you a check for $5 million to offset the difference in a freaking heartbeat.
The thing that would suck, though, is then they have to put a live banner up somewhere just because that's what sponsorships get whenever they do that.
I wouldn't even think they don't even care about that. They don't even care about sponsor. They just want to build something with some of the world's elite players. Let's say it's all 48. Let's say it's all 48 guys, okay? And it's $500,000 a person, okay? That's what, $24 million? They just paid $120 million for what? They pay $120 million for one player. Yeah. You don't think they would stroke a check for $20 million to the PGA Tour every single event that they could get 50 or 48 of the of whatever the top 75 in the world. You don't think they would help? Like they would do some sort of deal to offset? I mean, it's crazy. I don't think the money is the thing. Money has anything to do with it, because there's so many different solutions that you could have a net zero sum, a net zero loss for the PGA Tour, and I think the LIV would jump all over it to be able to do it. What are your thoughts on that? Am I crazy?
No, and I don't even know that you have to go down that road that you're talking about, because first and foremost, what he needs to do is he needs to point the finger back at the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour did this because the LIV guys don't have any offsetting events. Like they specifically made the schedule out where those guys could still play on the PGA Tour if the PGA Tour would have allowed them to do so. So yeah, that's when Davis Love, you need to go to the PGA Tour commissioner and go, I'm not blaming the LIV guys for us taking a hit in money. I'm blaming you because now you've suspended these guys and these guys can't play in these tournaments, so our sponsorship dollars are down.
Sure.
Because that's not, because LIV is specifically scheduling events not on weekends that have big events.
Like the John Deere Classic. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It just is what it is. It's just not going to be. It's never going to be a thing. It's never going to make Fetch a thing.
And that's exactly. And that's relevant. That the purse still went up from last year on those tournaments. Like, they're not losing money. Like, they're still, the sponsorships are still making
what's
money.
The latest one was an off week. They did it in an off week.
Exactly.
And they're
doing it after, now the season's ended. So they're going to, these LIV guys are fixing to play in a few tournaments that the season's over with. Like, they're not competing with the PGA Tour. That's what gets me, that the PGA Tour keeps addressing it. And PGA Tour players they're going against us. No, they're not.
They're trying everything they can to not go against. Like,
we want them to go against you. We're begging you to have a LIV versus PGA Tour match play type atmosphere. Make your money back there. Do you think we wouldn't all watch that? That'd be fantastic.
Way There's better other than the ways, President's Cup this year.
It's one of those. Yeah, the President's Cup's gonna be trash. And it's better to try to work with some. They keep thinking that they're going against them, and they're not. You know, Davis Love said that. The excerpt that I saw from it, I think I told you about it because I watched about 4.5 minutes from that same podcast, and he got to talking about, you know, all they're doing is they're doing it for the money. Well, it sounds to me, when you make that argument, that's the only reason you're holding golf tournaments is for the money, because that's what you're bitching about. You're not bitching that Dustin Johnson's not playing. You're bitching that the possibility of him not playing is taking money out of your pocket.
And they
that's
keep
what
saying
you're bitching about.
And here's another thing, is like, they keep saying that it's a binary choice, that whenever they choose LIV, they are forfeiting their right to get world ranking points. You could easily give them world ranking points, and then they would never, like, they wouldn't compete with your, they don't want to play in all those events. They just want to play LIV Tour events and then go play in the majors.
Right.
And we're going to get to this in a minute. And everybody else wants them to play in the majors too. Even people that are going to be playing in the majors. So,
the governing bodies are the ones that are setting the rules. They keep acting like LIV is doing this. LIV's not doing anything. You know what LIV's doing? LIV came up with this tournament that doesn't compete with any of your tournaments, and they're paying these guys a boatload of money, and they're only taking 48 players in order to do it. Like, they thought of something you didn't think of, and now you're pissed about it. And you can't, I'm sorry. That's what competition in business is. They're not defecting. They're doing another tour that they want to do. You guys don't have an issue when Tiger takes $9 million to go play in the Saudi Emeritus or whatever it is. That's growing the game.
Davis Love even said on that same podcast, on that same show, if you look up his deal, it says he's won like 36 professional tournaments. He's like, only 20 of those are PGA Tour events. He played in a ton of fall exhibitions for a ton of money. And he even said it, but he's like, oh, but it was in the off season, whatever. That to me, like, I can't even believe he told that story. Like, I wouldn't have told that. I wouldn't have said that.
He constantly contradicted himself in this.
I would not have said I played in exhibition matches outside of the PGA Tour that I didn't get. His point was, I played in those and didn't get world ranking points.
Right.
I was okay with it. Well, of course, because you got to play in all the other events that you had world ranking points, and you got a pile of money. And you told everybody that. You told everybody you played on essentially a bonus tour, a Superman tour, in the off season for a boatload of money that didn't really mean anything. It was an exhibition, but you told everybody you did it. Like, why would you say that? Like,
I know.
And then you said, you talk, and then it's in your bio of how many wins you have, and you, and that goes along with some of the other comments he said, where nobody will ever remember these, and nobody. It's in your bio. It's in your bio. I can look it up right now. It's part of your wins. It's counted towards part of your wins, even though there is an asterisk that says, whatever, this doesn't count towards the PGA Tour. A lot of things in that whole podcast. I know it's probably taboo to like pump another podcast, but it's a really good interview because there's a lot of insight. But I think it's if you don't watch it with just from a one worldview, like if you don't watch it from one golf worldview, if you watch it just from a sort of back and you try to watch both sides,
yeah,
it's just very
a consumer standpoint.
It's very interesting because I feel like he has some really good points, and then he steps on his own toes several times. It's like, what are
I noticed that the part that I watched, and Sleazy kept kind of quiet on this, Colton and Davis brought this up, and I will say this to both Colt Knows and Davis, Love the Third, and I tell them this to their face too, is they talked about how you mentioned the part where they said nobody's going to remember it. These are exhibitions. You know, nobody's going to talk about a shot they made. Well, that's because this is only the third tournament in.
Hey, third tournament. Everybody's talking about Dustin Johnson's eagle putt, which, granted, you didn't get a chance to have that.
Yeah, that was
before. That hadn't happened yet.
But they said, but then Colt said, all they're going to talk about is, they got $4.5 million. Yeah, that's something to talk about. That's a talking point.
That's insane.
And here's the thing. If, because he said, you know, none of us stand on the green. We dream about beating Tiger Woods. We dream about beating Arnold Palmer on a final putt. I get that. We all did that. We all dream of hitting a half-court shot to beat Michael Jordan. We all dream of making that putt, you know, on 18 when you're out there practicing when you're 16, 17 years old that you just beat Tiger or you beat, you know, the upcoming kids beating Will Zalatoris or something. I get all that. But you know what? Every golfer we've talked to eventually will say when they get done with college and even on into college a little bit and they start hitting the pros, then it's a business. I don't want to hear Colt or Davis Love the Third or anybody say anything such as, well, that's a business decision anymore. That needs to be eliminated. If they're just doing it for love and they're just doing it because they want to play on the PGA Tour, then quit talking about money, quit taking sponsorships, do like Ryan Palmer did years ago and go sponsorless and wear everything blank where you're not doing anything because he didn't believe. And he took that stance of, you know, sweatshops making clothes and stuff.
Yeah, he also wore a bow tie or something like out there and looked ridiculous.
But it did. But put your money where your mouth is. Like he had people approaching about sponsorships. And, and he
believed in what he said.
And he took it head on. So you guys do the same. If it's not about money, then send the check somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like,
don't play this game.
Don't ever do that. When everybody says, I don't do that job, I don't do it for the money, I do it for the love. Okay. Well, then if they quit paying, you're going to keep doing it, you can move on.
Yeah. You're out of here, pal. You're right out of here. Let me tell you something that you will never throw out of here. Okay. Exactly. Ever. You'll play it, you'll use it until they come out with a new one. And that is the Blue Tees rangefinder. We have the Series 3X Max or whatever. It's the top of their best one they have.
Yep.
And it's equivalent, got all the features of your $600-$700 rangefinders, and you get it for like under $300. And then you use coupon code DADBOD, you take another 10% off on top of it. Save even bigger. You got slope, you got infrared lock on, you got the buzz lock on, you got the magnet on the side, you got scan mode. We love scan mode. I love scan mode. You don't have to have the pin to lock on. You flip it to scan mode, you can hit trees, you can hit bunkers, you can hit the end of the fairway, and you can just hold it down and it just continues to pop lock onto things. It's unbelievable. You'll love it. They're sleek. They look good. They don't look goofy. They look sharp. You'll love them. You get them in three color options, pink, black, and blue. Ben's got the pink. I got the navy blue. Awesome carrying case. Love those guys. They got tons of other stuff like Bluetooth speakers, and the coupon code works on all of them. So check out Blue Tees. You won't be disappointed. Blue Tees is where rangefinders start. All right. Last thing, we kind of touched on in the last show, and this is sort of goes back to the majors, like what's going to happen with the majors? If this guy in the top 10 goes, we don't know who it is. They keep saying there's another top 10 guy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be John Rahm. I'm on the Ben train. I think it's going to be John Rahm. If one of those guys goes, and let's just say it's a John Rahm, or we say it's somebody like a John Rahm, that's a heavy hitter, like that's a personality over just golfer. At what point, like they're sort of, I think the PGA Tour is sort of hoping and praying that the Masters is the one they're putting all the eggs in the basket because they sort of do whatever the hell they want to do.
Yeah, and that also is putting them in a bad place too. They've had enough negative publicity through the years with women and protest outside the gates. And I mean, they PGA Tour needs to grow a sack, not do that. That's just my opinion.
So what? Do we really want to have a season of majors that does not have a John Rahm, a Cam Smith, a Dustin Johnson? Do we really want that? Hell, even Patrick Reed. We love to hate him.
Yeah.
We love to root against him.
I told you, I want Patrick Reed. I want him on the President's Cup. I want him on the Ryder Cup team. Just because he's Captain America.
Carlos Ortiz, Abraham Answer. Like, Abraham Answer could win a major. He's that good. Brooks Koepka, like, we forget about Brooks Koepka. Bryson DeChambeau, like, do we really want to go through a major season without these guys? Padraig Harrington and a lot of other pros don't. Padraig Harrington says the majors are for the best players in the world, bar none. Doesn't matter what they have on their shirt.
Doesn't matter where you play. Yep.
By the way, I love that Patrick Reed wears live shit all over his shirt every time that's so on brand. It's hilarious.
It is. It's typical him. This is the part where these are the parts of Patrick Reed that I like when he does that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Petty. He's super petty.
Yeah.
Super petty. Love it. But yeah, is that what we want? Do we really want that? PGA Tour really want that?
That's the thing is, if they're going to put all the eggs in the basket of Augusta National, does Augusta National want that? Do you want to tell DJ, who's a former winner, he can't come play there?
What about IBM? What do you think IBM? You think IBM wants that?
Yeah, I mean
that's the most beautiful app that's ever been made.
The quote from Padraig Harrington, he says, "I strongly believe the major should stay above everything. I would not want to turn up at a major and not play against the best players in the world." This is coming. The thing that sticks out in my mind, Kyle, is this is coming from one of the quote unquote old guys. This is one of the guys that's not supposed to be pro live. He's supposed to be PGA Tour through and through, DP World Tour through and through. Earn your keep, play for fun. Make sure you win. You know, you're on par to try to break Tiger's majors, all that kind. He's that guy, and he's coming out and saying, like, I still don't believe in the live tour, but I tell you what, I do believe in. I believe in good competition, and I think that the best competition and the best players in the world need to be playing in major tournaments, and they'd be stupid not to, man. The majors are by far, don't get me wrong, Tiger is the needle when it comes to watching. So if he plays a full season in the next couple of years, TV ratings will be just fine. But major ratings are way higher than the John Deere Classic or even Harbortown the following weekend after Augusta National.
I just don't think financially, like, your product that you sell cannot, you can't go to the same people and ask for the same money. Mm-hmm. Even if you can, right now, like, we're talking about if they go and compete against, well, they're going anyway. You cannot go and sell a Masters package of advertising. Don't use that Masters because they don't use a lot of advertising. But any other, you can't go sell these big packages of advertising for commercial space and things like that to the guys you can normally depend on because – the interest will inevitably be down. Like, it's just going to be down. Yeah. Like, if you don't have Bryson and Brooks and DJ and all these dudes fighting that are, you know, got a chance, even if it's to love to hate them, like, even if it's to root against them, like, that's going to hurt your product. That is going to hurt your product. It's going to hurt your ratings. That's going to hurt your revenue. It's just, it can't not. It's just the law of, it's just economics. It's simple. Advertising economics. You're an advertising guy. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, there's no doubt. It's one of those things where it's like you want the, like, you're paying for the cream of the crop. And when you've got those guys that you mentioned, and I will say this, the live guys have got to do a little give and take. If they're going to be allowed to play in the majors,
I agree.
They can't pull a Patrick Reed and wear all their live shit when they're doing it. Like, if Augusta National says you can play, but you can't wear any live gear. Unless you want to find a sneaky way around it like Ian Poulter did, where he had the logo of a company he invests in, so he's allowed to wear that anywhere he wants. That is also a live sponsor, and he just happens to be a financial backer of it. There's got to be a happy medium, and Padraig, I'm glad he's got the ball rolling. He came out with this about a week and a half ago when he said it. I really thought we'd see some more players kind of take that route too, because all we've heard from the older generation, which is like Freddie Couples, he's been anti, he's like, F them. I hope they all just never play golf again. And I don't want to hear anything about them. It's like,
yeah, Davis too. Davis has been that way.
Davis loves,
he'll be cordial. He'll be cordial, but he's been super, super negative, and he does have some good points, but I think he has more bad points than he has good points. So, yeah. Anyway, it's fun to talk about. I know that. And
be pro golf. That's what we keep saying.
What's the best for golf? What's the best for golf?
I've said
it doesn't have to be one tour. It doesn't have to be one tour.
One of our buddies, he told me, he said, it sounds like you're really, it's a guy at work. He said, it sounds like you're pro live. I said, I'm pro golf. I keep saying that over and over. I'm not advocating that the PGA Tour give in to the Live Tour or the Live Tour give in to the PGA Tour. I don't see where PGA Tour guys, they have been making all these threats and telling all these guys, you can't do this, you can't do that, and they're still losing players.
Just coexist, guys. Just coexist. Do it for the fans. Do it for the fans. Do it for the product. Do it for your bottom line.
What was it, a month? We've been hearing about Cam Smith leaving, and he finally left, and like they kept threatening. He was like, I don't care. I'm still going. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're not – your threats are empty threats.
Yeah.
And you're right. If you get four out of the top 10 guys that are on Live,
it's a big deal.
You're doing us a disservice as fans by not letting them in the majors.
It's awful. I would riot.
I'm sorry. You're hurting. In order for you to be prideful and bust and bow your chest out, just so you can say I'm right and everybody else is wrong. You know what? You keep saying the Live Tour guys are not growing the game. Well, you're not either. If you're keeping us from watching them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you're hurting the game too. So you're in the same boat as them.
So let them play. Let them play. Let's try to figure out a way to coexist.
Let them play.
appreciate it, guys. Great Wednesday show. Friday, we'll have some fun. Hopefully Nate will be back. Everything's fine. Just, new dad stuff. Yeah. And, we're behind him. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He'll be back. He's going to be excited to come back, and, we're going to be excited to have him. So y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll talk on Friday and we'll have a blast.
Nate did hit us with a surprise that we're probably going to be doing a little bit later on in the month.
Yeah.
Not going to give that away yet.
But we're going to wait for him to announce it. So
yeah,
it could be epic. So y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you on Friday. It's episode 226 of The Dad Bod Golf Pod. And we're always stroking.
You've been listening to The Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.